Dear sisters and brothers in Christ Jesus, if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. Every time I have to preach on this very text from the Gospel, I think how lucky I am that we don't have to take every word in the Gospel literally. Because it would be quite difficult for me to stand at the altar or try to climb the pulpit without my hands, legs, and eyes. But what does Jesus really mean by those harsh sounding words? The Gospel has been given us some examples, some excellent glimpses into the character of true disciple of Jesus Christ, but also into the daily reality where the things are not always as they ought to be. In other texts from the Gospel, we hear about disciples quarreling, who is the biggest among them, who is the most advanced in the knowledge of the kingdom of God, possibly also the most humble. We hear about disciples imagining themselves sitting at the left and the right hand of the Christ on his heavenly throne. And today we see disciples trying to prevent others doing the same miracles as they are themselves allowed to do. They are running to Jesus like small children, disappointed that someone else has a similar toy. We saw someone casting out demons in your name and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. It is as if they would be saying, Jesus put a stop to it. We should have the exclusive privilege of preaching your name. We shouldn't allow others to do so because they could be, heaven forbid, even better than we are. It's a completely human logic. But Jesus answers as he always does. He reminds disciples that it is not the human perspective, but the heavenly one that they should consider. And so should we. This passage from the Gospel has tremendous parallels to our time and to the reality as we experience it now. How much fighting is there going on between different Christian organizations, between churches and denominations? There are actually some pretty big group of Christians that would like to think that their group is the only one that is going to heaven. Christ's answer teaches us that we shouldn't be like this. I think no one of us would like to sit in heaven behind a tall wall, pretending that there are not others behind it. In fact, responding to disciples' complaints about a rival exorcist, Jesus immediately turned tables to them and warning them that they are the ones in danger of doing harm. It's as Jesus would say, the problem is not the folks outside of our group. Don't worry about the others. Let them do what they want to do, unless they harm us. They are not the problem. Rather, look at yourselves. How are you getting in the way of the Gospel? How are you a stumbling block? The legs, the arms and the eyes that causes sin, about which Jesus speaks. Those legs, arms and eyes are we. If we as disciples cause a brother or sister to stumble, Jesus says it would be better for us if we had a stone around our necks and be cast into the sea. A disciple does not cause a brother or sister to stumble. We all need to guard against becoming a stumbling block. Apostle Paul warns us about this possibility in his letter to Romans, where he says, "Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in brother's way." Love is the spiritual fruit that will prevent us becoming a stumbling block. As John encourages us in his letter, "The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him." As we abide in the love of Jesus, the Holy Spirit empowers us and enables us to love and not to become stumbling blocks to another brothers and sisters in Christ. True, it does not really mean that we have to always agree with our sisters and brothers. Jesus does not call us to be without an opinion, without a point of view, far from it. But he calls us to mutual love, even though we might disagree. Because only like that we would act truly as disciples of Christ. And he reminds us of this with strong words, very strong words taken from the prophet Isaiah about a fire that can't be quenched. "For it is better to burn in fire than to live a life without love to others." In light of those words, Jesus teaches us also to be the salt of the world. If we as the people of God and followers of Jesus lose our purpose which is to honor and worship the Lord and to serve one another, we are like salt that has lost its intended purpose, that has lost its saltiness. And how can you season it? So we as individual Christians and also as a church, we should keep this in mind and never forget our love to others. This is the call, the identity, and the promise of true discipleship. And this is the peace that Jesus offers to all his followers. And this is what we should be and what we should live. Amen.